You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Run it back. The Rockets, somewhat surprisingly, were able to keep Daniel House Jr. on the first day of free agency on a relatively cheap deal, and then they topped that in Monday's day two by somehow bringing back Austin Rivers on a minimum deal. So not only have the Rockets retained core pieces of last year's depth, but they've somehow managed to do it without having bird rights to either guy, and all while keeping the vast majority of their salary cap exceptions available for future upgrades elsewhere. Yeah, Joel Borey is pretty damn good at his job. So to talk about why these moves are so critical and what might come next, welcome in to another new episode here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Tonight's show is brought to you by our friends over at Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now underway. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. We're also sponsored by our partners over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. As we chat this Monday, July 1st, we're now over 24 hours into NBA free agency, and the Rockets appear to be recovering quite nicely from their swing and miss on Jimmy Butler. They've now retained core pieces of their depth in Austin Rivers, Daniel House Jr., and Gerald Green, and they've done it all while retaining the vast majority of their other flexibility. And yes, I am aware for a lot of you listening, just bringing back the band probably is not enough. You want external upgrades. Well, that's why the terms of these deals are so important. By not only keeping these players, but managing to do it so cheaply and efficiently, you still have the vast majority of your tools available to bring in those types of outside upgrades that I know a lot of you, myself included, crave. In fact, if the Rockets are willing to give themselves a hard cap at the apron, which I think is becoming increasingly possible, especially since you've gotten a bargain like Austin Rivers at the true minimum, you may still have both your mid-level exception, at least majority of it, which is around $6 million a year, that's what's still left after the house contract, and also your biannual exception, which starts at about $3.5 million per year. So that's why the favorable terms that the Rockets have been able to negotiate, Daryl Morey in particular, with their own free agents is so crucial. It's a good thing just from a basketball perspective to bring back the top seven players in your rotation because, after all, this was a very good team. I know they lost to the Warriors, but overall, this was a very, very good basketball team. But beyond that, it's the terms of these deals that sets them up so well for the remainder of the offseason moving forward. Now, what might those possibilities be? We'll talk about those a little bit in the latter segments of today's show. One possibility could actually be longtime nemesis Andre Iguodala, who may become available since the Warriors shockingly dealt him to a bad Memphis team as part of a very unexpected cap-clearing move to land D'Angelo Russell. That could also boost the odds of Rockets target Kevon Looney. More on those options in just a little bit. To lead off, though, let's start with the confirmed news of the day, and that's the return of guard Austin Rivers. I won't spend too much time on House and Gerald Green, because if you want insight on those, just check out our archives and you can find full reaction in Sunday night's show. And beyond just the fact that Rivers is the newest of the three signings, he's also the most important in my estimation. Really, there's just so many levels to this. I've always been a big proponent of bringing Austin back, but personally, I was even questioning if the mid-level exception would be enough to keep him. Keep in mind that, for Rivers and House, the Rockets did not have bird rights on either of those guys because they were only with the team for one season. So any deal to retain those two had to come out of your exceptions, either your mid-level, your biannual, or what's called your minimum salary exceptions, where it's the name of it. You just give them the minimum, and you have an unlimited supply of those unless you're hard-capped. Anyway, Rivers, he's just 26 years old, and last year played very well as a role player on a contender, and guys like that with high visibility, they typically get at least the MLE, especially if they're only in their mid-20s, and he's 26 now, he'll be 27 at the start of the season. But Rivers did say quite frequently during the year that his time in Houston was the happiest of his entire career. And that's really quite a statement in his case, considering he played for his own father several years out in L.A. Now, to be clear, I don't think all of this is just out of the sheer goodness of his heart. My guess is that the Rockets did give him probably a bit of a wink-wink promise that they'd take care of him a year from now with a larger and more long-term contract, because at that point they'll have his early bird rights and they could give him up to about $10 million per season, as I understand it. But it's still quite a gesture that Austin is willing to take that leap of faith. And if anybody's worried about the recent narratives nationally, the clickbait stories about the alleged tension between Chris Paul and James Harden, and what exactly the locker room is like, well, in my opinion, actions speak a ton louder than words. And for Rivers, at just 26 years old, with all the options he had on the market, to sign at such a discounted rate to stay in Houston, that's a pretty strong indicator of just how much he enjoys the culture. That's quite an endorsement. So hopefully that will bury some of the dumb and lazy takes about whether players want to play in Houston and that kind of stuff. And then from a basketball standpoint, this is such a huge deal. There are so many reasons that the Rockets needed to keep Austin Rivers. I've said for months now on this show that Rivers was a good enough player that I was open to using the entire MLE to keep him, even though that would nullify your best avenue at getting an upgrade externally. That's how good he was last season, how important he was, both on offense with how he could shoot and create some off the dribble, and especially with his defense, especially on the quick twitch guards like Steph Curry, like Russell Westbrook in the West. And yeah, even against the Warriors, he was quite playable. His plus minus in that series, round two against the Warriors, was as good as anyone. Now it's the best of both worlds. You've brought him back, and yet you still have almost the complete mid-level exception, assuming you go the non-taxpayer route, to bring in more depth elsewhere. And that depth is at such a premium, and of course, Rivers himself helps on so many fronts. Chris Paul is 34 years old. He has a propensity for soft tissue injuries, and as he ages into his mid-30s, those are only going to become more frequent, certainly not less. So you need a backup point guard that you can trust. Rivers can fill that role. Also, Eric Gordon, he's entering the final year of his contract. He's also one of your best trade chips. So if, unexpectedly, you're not able to retain him or hammer out extension, or if you need to use him as a piece for a bigger deal, like you thought maybe you were going to do this month with Jimmy Butler, then you also need guard insurance after your big three of Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon for that reason. Really, just from an X's and O's standpoint, he gives you so much that behind Chris Paul and also Eric Gordon contractually, you need that level of proven experience, not just guys at the minimum or rookies that you're hoping but don't know. You need some certainty. And then beyond just what he brings you from an X's and O's standpoint, Austin is such a good guy in the locker room, and he's especially important because of his age. The Rockets are generally one of the league's older teams, at least at the top. Chris Paul, James Harden, PJ Tucker, these are guys that have been in the NBA 10 to 15 years. It's not that they're bad leaders, but it's not as easy for them to relate to guys who are 22 years old and fresh out of college or the G League, whatever it may be. Whereas I've seen Austin Rivers, he's kind of the bridge and in-between guy who certainly he's got a lot of high-profile experience. Everyone knows who he is because of his father, Doc Rivers, the last name on his jersey. But yet he's young enough to relate to guys like Isaiah Hartenstein, Gary Clark, Chris Chioza. He's very good in the locker room. The young players look up to him, and he's a bridge between the veteran core of CP3, Harden, and PJ Tucker, and then the younger guys, which the Rockets, they know they're one of the league's older teams, and as we go into the next 2 or 3 years, the Rockets do want to get younger wherever they can, and Rivers is a big bridge in terms of bringing those guys into the fold and making sure that the chemistry is right, as Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey want it to be. And even though there's all these positives, I know some of you are saying, Ben, this is, at this point, just running it back. And the Rockets, they fell short a year ago. Even though they were a good team, they lost 4-2 to the Warriors, and you've seen a lot of other teams out west, the Jazz with Mike Conley, the Lakers with Anthony Davis, maybe the Lakers or Clippers with Kawhi Leonard. You've seen these other teams get better, so even though you feel pretty good about where the Rockets are at, you want to see the Rockets make moves of their own. I get it, and that's justifiable, but for starters, as I said leading off the podcast, remember that this doesn't mean you're totally running it back. This is just giving you a foundation, the top 7 pieces, your 5 starters that are coming back, at least at this moment, now that the Gordon and Capella for Butler type sign and trade is off the table. Well, now you have your top seven players back. And then because you've done it on such friendly terms, you still have room for other upgrades with those other exceptions. With all that said, the reason that I am excited about this foundation, I'm not saying the offseason is done. Far from it. We're just 24 hours from when it began. So there's a ton of time for Daryl Morey to scour the market looking for the best deals. But the foundation does matter. Remember, the final 57 games of the regular season and the first five of the playoffs, that's 62 combined, more than three quarters of a season, this was a 60-plus win team. That was its pace. And the year before that, it was a 65-win team. I'm sure some of you hear me say that and think, Ben, aren't you cherry-picking a little bit? Why would you discount what happened in the first 25 games of the season? Because, of course, there were injuries, but every team has injuries. Yes, I understand that. The reason that I discount it, especially now that you have brought back Daniel House and Austin Rivers, is because from mid-December onward, when you went on that 60-plus win pace for over three quarters of a season, it was after you brought in Austin Rivers and Daniel House and inserted them into your rotation ahead of the guys who didn't work out that you signed in the offseason a year ago, James Ennis, Michael Carter-Williams, Carmelo Anthony. They weren't exactly carbon copies, but Austin Rivers, Daniel House, they gave you many of the dynamics you had a season ago with Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, when you were in peak form, not just offensively, but defensively as well. I don't know if the Rockets ever fully caught their 2018 form, but they came pretty damn close. And the reason it's not all just a matter of, well, the first 25 games, we're throwing them out because we don't like those results. No, I'm throwing them out because things changed once they fortified the depth with Austin Rivers and Daniel House. So that's why, now that you know you have those guys in the fold, I feel a lot more confident in saying that 60-plus wins is the Rockets' floor. That's their base case. That's where, assuming reasonable health, they should be. This team can be and should be that good, especially if you bring in additional depth with those exceptions, which we'll talk about more in just a few minutes. And keep in mind that not only do you now have the same group coming back, but there's the benefits of more continuity. The starting five is all intact, although there have been reports that maybe they'll consider going back to House at the three and Eric Gordon off the bench, being a bit more traditional in terms of length and rebounding. But either way, those top seven guys, they're all coming back. You're not trying to integrate Rivers and House on the fly. You're not having to bring him back after 2 months off in the middle of the season because of the contract negotiations, the days on his two-way contract running out. So really, on top of having better talent, the chemistry from the outset of the year should be a lot better as well, and that should help avoid anything awful like that 11-14 start through the first 25 games a year ago. Now, as far as what's next, because I know for some of you, you're wondering, okay, this sounds really good. We've kept our flexibility, but when are we actually going to see it pay off and bring in an external upgrade? At this point, I think the Rockets, and most of the league really, is in a little bit of a holding pattern. Now, there's always the possibility of trades, but that's true literally any day of the year, so it's kind of pointless to speculate on that since we'd just be blindly guessing. From here, in terms of what we know about the free agent market, there are really two primary paths down which the Rockets' offseason could go from here. One is that they use all of their exceptions, as we've been talking about, and bring in upgrades now. That would hard cap them at the apron level, which is about $139 million in team salary, and that does make roster additions during the year by trade a little more challenging. The other path would be to stick to the lower MLE, which after signing a three-year deal with House has about $2.5 million left on it annually, and then not use that biannual exception at all. That would allow the Rockets to avoid the hard cap, which, as mentioned, gives them more flexibility on trades during the season, and then because they're not hard capped, they could then also use bird rights to re-sign Amon Shumpert and potentially have him as kind of a human trade exception in which he'd basically be a large expiring contract that you could use to help the math work on potential trades during the season. You'd have to wait until December 15th, assuming it's not part of a sign-in trade. Keep in mind that you probably would not be able to re-sign Shumpert in the first scenario since you'd have a hard cap. So if you want Shumpert back either for what he provides you as a basketball player or his potential trade matching ability by giving him a bloated deal, you probably need to go the second route and avoid that hard cap. unless you're going to sign and trade him. That's the one exception. If you have a taker now, that's the one way around it. Although if you're trading him as part of a sign and trade, then my guess is you're bringing in the type of salary that would be larger than the hard cap would permit. So either way, if Amon Shumpert, either now or later, if trading him is part of your plans and using his salary as a matching tool, then you probably don't want to use those exceptions. Personally, for me, of those two scenarios, I lean to the first one, and that's using your exceptions now. We saw what happened last year when they erred on the side of flexibility and optionality and the potential for more moves later on. The chemistry and really just the overall talent, it wasn't good enough at the start of the year, and that's what got them off to that 11-14 start that they never were able to fully dig themselves out of, being the number 4 seed in the West instead of the number 1 or the number 2, which by talent they certainly should have been. You're going to have James Harden at 30 years old in one of his last true prime years. For me, I don't want to pass on a real upgrade now because you might be able to trade Shumpert as part of, say, a Kevin Love type trade during the season. While that would be nice, I don't think the Rockets have to make that kind of deal to contend. I think they're good enough now, with the foundation from a year ago, and if they use those exceptions wisely to legitimately push for a title. And then if a big name does come on the market, keep in mind that by December 15th, you could then use your exception guys as salary fillers should the need arise. It wouldn't be quite as large in terms of the salary as Shumpert in most of these hypotheticals, but it certainly wouldn't be the minimum salary either. And the other reason why I think I would use these exceptions now is that there are some really good values still out there on the market. As I'm recording this at about 6 o'clock Monday evening, look, you've got JaMychal Green, Marcus Morris, Kevon Looney, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That's just a few that are out there at the moment. Wes Matthews signed for the minimum in Milwaukee. According to Tim McMahon of ESPN, the Rockets had some interest in him. So really, there are some pretty good players that are out there, and with so many teams around the NBA using up their money early, you may be able to get some really impact players, especially if you have your exceptions and you can outbid. I think the Rockets feel pretty good about their guards now with CP3, Harden, Rivers, and Gordon, although if you get a true value, of course, Daryl Morey's always the best player available guy. But I think it's especially up front, more length, more defense, another 3-and-D type, although maybe that's slightly less of a need now that you brought back Daniel House. But certainly another center. Nene, it appears, is bound for retirement. Isaiah Hartenstein is unproven. And then let's say you're able to bring in a Kevon Looney. That would potentially free you up during the season to trade Clint Capella if Looney pans out as you expect, because now you have a second starting quality center. It just gives you so many options. It would give you an upgrade relative to a year ago. And really, defense and rebounding, be it a 3-and-D type, another big, or both, that's where the Rockets were softest a year ago. That's what they need to improve. Despite what the national narratives are, it's never been about isolation in the ball movement, the style of offense, those types of things. Where the Rockets fell off from 2018 to 2019, they weren't as good on the glass and an overall team defense. That's what needs to get better. And a lot of those guys, they're out there in the market right now. It's a larger free agent class than we've seen in a long time. And so because of that, some players are going to slip through the cracks, especially with how aggressive the early spending was in the first few hours. And by saving all of their exceptions and using them selectively in the coming days and weeks, the Rockets could be poised to get some really good bargains. So that's why, unless I have something clear-cut in regards to a Shumpert sign and trade or a name that I know should become available later in the offseason or during the regular season and feel from communication with that team's GM that the Rockets would have a good chance at landing, unless there's a name that I'm unaware of, and Daryl Morey has way more intel than I do, so it wouldn't be my place to judge, but unless there's something secure like that, well, secure isn't the right word because you never know, but at least there's a more concrete possibility, I would lean, especially with the Rockets now having such a good foundation, to cashing in the chips now and trying to have as strong a team as possible entering September training camp, and with the Warriors no longer the Warriors, making a real run at this thing in the 2020 postseason. Now, as far as those aforementioned Warriors, their fall-off is a big part of the equation as well, and why I think the Rockets are and should be as aggressive as reports say they are. We'll touch on Golden State's latest surprising move, that being the deal for D'Angelo Russell, a sign-and-trade for Kevin Durant on his way out the door to Brooklyn. We'll discuss that in just a few moments. But for now, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Twillery. Because with Twillery, smart casual just got smarter and cheaper. Twillery is built on a century-old family manufacturing business. They make millions of shirts a year for leading brands, and they leverage those contacts and their team's technical know-how to keep costs down, all while maintaining high standards in quality and craftsmanship. Their view is that shirts shouldn't wrinkle, itch, or sweat. Because it's 2019, these guys know that shirts are a commodity, and they make stocking up your closet as simple as restocking beer in your fridge. Easy, affordable, and the perfect fit, guaranteed. They offer non-iron, untuckable, and performance dress shirts, and with free shipping and returns, you can try on some Twills risk-free. After all, feeling is believing. Twillery brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. Best of all, it's the top value in smart workwear. With the Shop and Bundle model, you all have access to shirts that competitors are selling for $100 and up for as low as $55 per shirt. Grab yourself some today at Twillery.com/LockedOn and use the promo code LockedOn for $25 off. They've even got a limited time special where you can enjoy a free set of bottle opener collar stays with your purchase. That's all from our friends over at Twillery, who you can visit at Twillery.com/LockedOn. That's Twillory. And don't forget to use that promo code LockedOn for an extra $25 off on anything in their complete line of apparel. All right, jumping back into our program on this Monday, July 1st, this is Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. We spent segment one looking at the Rockets' move of the day, that being re-signing Austin Rivers, not only bringing him back into the fold, which is a strong move in and of itself, a very good basketball player, but then using only a minimum deal to get him in, which preserves all of your other exceptions. So many options for the Rockets the rest of this offseason that Rivers signing for such a low amount. Now, it's not all out of the goodness of his heart. By spending a second year in Houston, he'll be eligible next summer for the Rockets to re-sign him using early bird rights, and I'm sure they'll give him a longer and more lucrative deal then. I'm guessing there's a bit of a wink-wink that's already been sort of handed out between Daryl Morey and Austin Rivers. That's my suspicion. Nonetheless, as far as building your team for the foreseeable future, that's a big bonus. Another bonus for the Rockets, of course, is their competition becoming generally weaker. Now, I know there are some teams that have gotten better. Certainly the Lakers with Anthony Davis. We'll see what happens with Kawhi. The Jazz with Mike Conley and some other additions. The West is not going to become easy all of a sudden. The Rockets, even though outside of the Golden State Warriors, they've been the class for the last really 2 years, the entire James Harden-Chris Paul partnership to this point. There's a lot of other really good basketball teams. Take nothing for granted. With all that said, the Warriors have won the West the last 5 years. They've booted the Rockets from the playoffs in 4 of those 5. And so to see them not be the same, it's huge. They are the gorilla. They are the bully on the block. And for that team to be dramatically different, that opens up the window as much as anything the Rockets can do themselves. It is a big deal, the breakup of the Warriors. And I use breakup now. I haven't said it before because even though we all knew or suspected for some time that Kevin Durant could leave and then the injury in the finals, even if he returned, he wouldn't be the same probably until the 2020-2021 year. Then if you keep Steph, Draymond, Iguodala, and then have Klay Thompson return from his ACL injury in February or March, he's still relatively young. I believe he'll be 30 next year, Klay. And then at that point, if he defies the aging curve or the post-injury curve just a little bit and is ready by the postseason, then who knows? Maybe they can recapture their old glory, because keep in mind, it's not just KD. Back in 2015 and 2016, they won an NBA title and then 73 games, the most ever in a single season, before Durant joined the team. Just with that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, and Draymond Green foundation. Well, now, in my opinion, that foundation is no more. They have moved on. And so now we can transition from just saying the Warriors' injuries, and at this point, move on, I think, to another era in the Western Conference. This is where I do believe, finally, the term breakup is appropriate. Now, to be clear, they did re-sign Klay Thompson. Steph Curry is under contract. And Draymond Green, for at least another year, is under contract. He'll be a free agent in 2020. We'll see what he decides to do then. But the deal of Andre Iguodala to the Memphis Grizzlies to make room for D'Angelo Russell, who they got back from the Nets in a sign-and-trade for Kevin Durant, that ends this era. And of course, by doing the sign and trade, the real impact is that it hard caps Golden State So between just their four max salaries, Curry, Clay, Russell, and Draymond, they're at close to that apron level just between those. Really, the entire rest of the roster, you can only have minimums or close to it. So that's why, to make room for D'Angelo Russell in the sign-and-trade, Iguodala had to go. But beyond that, they're not going to be able to re-sign Kevon Looney, who suddenly becomes much more of a realistic target for the Rockets and other teams. They probably won't be able to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins, Quinn Cook, Sean Livingston. The Warriors' depth is going to be dramatically different. And in my opinion, that deal, even though it gets them a very talented young player who, in some circles, D'Angelo Russell was rated as a max-worthy player, I get it, but this ends any possibility they had at winning the Western Conference next season. Or any realistic possibility, I should say. I mean, there's always hope against hope, and there are some crazy things that happen. But what I think you've seen by Golden State executing this move is a transition to the next generation. They are prioritizing Russell as an asset over whatever chances there would be for that old group of Warriors to catch lightning in a bottle. Now, I know it's harder because 2015 and 2016, these guys were all in their 20s. Now they're in their 30s. We've talked about the mileage effect before. But no matter how unlikely, that was a possibility. We certainly saw them do it in Game 6 at Toyota Center here in Houston to close out the Rockets in this year's postseason series. Well, now that's not going to happen. And Russell, even though he's a very talented young guard, I understand he can be dynamic. There's a reason teams were willing to pay him the max. And now you're pairing him with Steph Curry. And then you'll still have Draymond Green around for his defense, his passing. He still brings you a lot of value. But that team just does not have enough overall talent or depth to really be a legitimate contender. If the Warriors were somehow going to overcome the Durant loss, at least in the near term, it was going to be a scenario where the chemistry made them greater than the sum of the parts. The years and years together from that core four, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, what happened in Game 6, basically. Even if, on paper, they shouldn't be a contender, that level of chemistry can sometimes raise a team above what their expected results would be just by looking at the sum of the parts. At this point, after swapping out Iguodala, Looney, and all that depth for D'Angelo Russell, what you have, in my opinion, is probably a higher floor, but a lower ceiling. And I know with Russell being a young player, some of you are going to hear that and say, wait, don't you have that backwards? No, I don't think so. It's a higher floor because as long as Russell and Curry are healthy, between their firepower as scorers and then Draymond to provide enough defense, ball movement, those types of things, I don't really see things bottoming out for Golden State as long as they're healthy. That should secure them at least, say, a 500 team and probably 45-50 wins, I would guess. But the ideal scenario, maybe not in the regular season, but certainly in the playoffs, where everything clicks because of all the experience, the chemistry, the continuity, that's not going to be there. And of course, I'm not expecting Clay to be nearly himself either coming off the ACL, even if he does return in February or March. Russell raises their floor because they're just enough scoring punch now that they're not going to bottom out and be a lottery team, in my opinion. But there's also not that ceiling scenario of where you keep that group together and then somehow, especially once the playoffs get here, they become their old selves again in a small sample, especially if Clay starts to feel like his old self. That's not there anymore. In my opinion, whatever small chance there was, the Warriors are saying it's not worth it because of the value of Russell as an asset. And really, they don't know how it's going to work. There are definitely questions in terms of two ball handlers, Russell and Curry together. Although I do think there's one scenario where if Russell works out, Steph Curry is going to be in his low 30s pretty quickly. And so that's an age where point guards tend to break down. In a perfect world, I think they would love it if Russell took more of the playmaking burden and allowed Curry to transition more gracefully into an off-ball shooting role as opposed to asking his body to break down and perhaps just won't be as effective off the dribble as he's been early in his career once his speed starts to go a little bit. So maybe they can play together and it helps them age Curry more gracefully, or maybe they figure out that it's not a great fit and then once Clay is back and they get into the 2020-2021 season with everybody healthy, then they can try and sell off next summer D'Angelo Russell to the highest bidder and try to get a better fit around Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and if they re-sign him, Draymond Green.
What's clear by this move, by shipping out Andre Iguodala, who is one of the best role players of this generation. He's probably a Hall of Famer, even though with the Warriors, he averages in the single digits in terms of points per game. He's that good in terms of his defense, what he means, his ball movement, his player movement. I've called him before the Robert Horry of this generation, the quintessential glue guy. That's how valuable he is, even at 35 years old. So to break up the core four, which is what's been there all along in this current Warriors run, it's hard on them, and it signals for them to do that, that, hey, we're having to turn the page. We're having to move on. So to send Iggy to Memphis, where I don't expect him to stay, more on that momentarily, to let Kevon Looney go due to the hard cap. Looney's someone that Steve Kerr in the playoffs referred to as one of their foundation pieces. That tells you that they're suddenly not all about this year anymore. They know that they have to think longer term. And in my opinion, they're trying to rebuild for a couple of years down the road. It's meaningful for the Rockets on a couple of levels. First, it does open up possibilities with a couple of those players, specifically Iguodala and Looney. And we'll touch on those in a few moments in the third and final segment of the show. But in this one, what I want to close out by emphasizing, it closes the book on the current generation of the Warriors. Now, I'm not saying it closes the book on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They can come back. But if they do, number one, it probably will not be next season. And number two, it will be by a very different formula than what we are used to. That core four, which of course is not just offense, but defense as well, they are not going to be the same team. They don't even know how they're going to look. That's why Russell, it's basically an experiment. They'll see how he fits in, and then if it doesn't fit in all that well, they can use him as an asset. But they're making this choice to give up Iguodala and then hard cap themselves. Really, the hard cap is prohibitive to a lot of teams because, of course, during the season, you never know what's going to happen. You might need to make more upgrades or trades, and then it limits your ability to do so because you can't exceed the hard cap under any circumstances. Well, the Warriors aren't that worried about it because this year, it's kind of like gravy for them. They're not expecting or really trying to win a title. So having all these minimum slots and not being able to overpay, it's not really that big of a deal anyway because their emphasis is 2-3 years down the road. And considering that they have been the thorn in the Rockets' side, they've knocked them out of the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years. They've won the Western Conference 5 years in a row. This is a big deal. It's not it for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, no. But as far as the generation of the Warriors that have this 5-year Western Conference streak going on, what's killed the Rockets, not just the individual players, but the system, it's over. It's a new era in the Western Conference. And that in and of itself is a big deal. We've speculated about it for a while, really ever since the Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson injuries in the finals, and now the Kevin Durant departure in free agency. But to go a step beyond the Durant departure and take the gamble on D'Angelo Russell while effectively breaking up every spot on your roster beyond just Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, who's not going to play, and Draymond Green, it shows you that Golden State is turning the page. And because of it, the Western Conference is now wide open for any team, including your Houston Rockets. Now, we'll continue our discussion about these Warriors, specifically turn our focus to a couple of the players, the aforementioned Andre Iguodala and Kevon Looney, in just a few moments in the third and final segment of the show. But for now, I do want to pause and tell you about our friends over at Gallery Furniture, where they've kicked off the summer with red-hot savings on select items during their red-hot summer sale. Stop by any convenient Houston-area Gallery Furniture location at 6006 North Freeway, 7227 West Grand Parkway South, or 2411 Post Oak Boulevard to take advantage of 40 to 60% savings on Houston's best selection of solid wood, made in America furniture, name brand mattresses, 100% real top grain leather and upholstered living room styles, one-of-a-kind market samples, and more. Plus, you'll find Gallery Furniture's lowest prices ever on quality pieces for every room in your home, including sofas starting at $399, dining sets as low as $599, Sealy queen-size mattresses starting at $599, and more. Don't miss your chance to enjoy these incredible summer savings at Gallery Furniture. And as always, when you shop Gallery Furniture today, you can have your quality purchases delivered straight to your Houston area home within hours when you choose same-day delivery. You can also visit them at galleryfurniture.com. All right, finishing up the show here at Locked on Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. On this Monday, July 1st, day two, because it started late Sunday night of NBA free agency. So in the first couple of segments, initially discussing the return of Austin Rivers to the Rockets, why that's a big deal, and then in the second segment, turning our attention to the rest of the NBA free agency landscape and the shocking move, the Warriors trading for D'Angelo Russell and the Kevin Durant sign and trade, part of his move to Brooklyn, and by virtue of doing that, hard capping themselves and forcing a trade of Andre Iguodala, and then really their free agents of any significance, including Kevon Looney, DeMarcus Cousins, Quinn Cook, basically locking them out of any chance of retaining those guys by virtue of the hard salary cap incurred by accepting a signed and traded player, such as D'Angelo Russell from the Brooklyn Nets. So in segment two, we looked at really the Warriors as a whole, the five-time defending Western Conference champions, why that's a huge deal for the Rockets, the Western Conference opening up. Here in the third and final segment, I want to turn to two players who the Rockets could definitely target and perhaps benefit from this Warriors breakup, that being swingman Andre Iguodala and big man Kevon Looney. As far as Iguodala, he was dealt to Memphis effectively because the Warriors needed a straight dump to get underneath the hard cap. So the Grizzlies took him on. They got a first-round pick because they really don't have any use for Iguodala as a team that's not trying to win now, that's rebuilding. They just had cap space, and the Warriors needed to find a taker to get beneath the hard cap. And then we heard Monday morning from Tim McMahon of ESPN that if Iggy is bought out, the Rockets would be amongst the teams with serious interest. And it's not shocking because July 1st, 2017, the last time Andre was a free agent, the Rockets met with him and, according to various reports, were very close before their presence in the negotiations forced Golden State because they didn't want to lose him to their chief rival. The Rockets had Chris Paul, also a good friend of Iguodala's, as part of their pitch. And the Warriors responded by upping their offer. They kept him. And of course, the Warriors have been to two NBA finals since then, winning one of those. Iguodala, it's not that he's a scorer and he's 35 years old. I get that he's aging, but look at these playoffs. You saw him in the Houston series, not just defensively, but offensively. He moves well without the ball. He hit five threes in game six. He rises to the occasion. When the game is on the line, when the lights are brightest, this is a guy that you want out there. And even at 35 years old, I would not bet against him, especially if you use him right, keep his usage down, especially in the regular season. He is a guy that can flourish in the playoffs. There's a reason the Rockets have gone after him before, and I still think, based on this past postseason, that he has a decent bet still left in the tank, and since he is in Memphis, there's no real fit there. Now, to this point, the Grizzlies have not said they're going to buy him out, and that makes sense. They'd much rather trade him than get nothing in return. If they could move him and get, say, another draft pick from a contender that really wants him, like, say, the Rockets, the Grizzlies would be silly not to try and further boost their stockpile of assets. But eventually, if that deal doesn't come to fruition, and Iguodala, at 35 years old, is someone that, just based on his age, is going to be tough to get that much value for, and there's not that many teams that would truly be in the market, they could buy him out. Now, right now, they're not saying that, because if you say you're going to buy a guy out, then nobody's going to trade for him. So from Memphis's perspective, I think the focus right now is on canvassing the league for a potential trade partner. However, if it doesn't work out, the Rockets are rumored to be a buyout suitor, and it makes sense because they went after him the last time he was a free agent in 2017. Other reports say the Lakers with LeBron could be a suitor, and maybe they have an edge up because, like Golden State, they're in California. It's very speculative, and that could be a ways away. However, the Rockets, they do appear to be interested, and if they want to avoid the risk that he goes somewhere else by buyout, they could potentially trade for him. Now, I would be surprised if the Rockets were willing to trade either Clint Capella or Eric Gordon for Iguodala. And because Iggy makes about $17 million, you'd have to trade a sizable salary to make the math work with the Rockets as an above-the-cap team. I don't think Iggy at 35 is someone that the Rockets would cash in Capella or Gordon as a basketball player or as an asset for, unless maybe, you know, one of those guys would have to go to a third team. Well, if Capella, certainly, because Memphis has Jonas Valanciunas in the middle. It doesn't really make sense for them to take on Capella. They just gave Valanciunas a new deal as well. I mean, maybe if Capella went to a third team and the Rockets got not just Iguodala, but a first-round pick, maybe they could consider it. But honestly, I think when you look at Andre's age and then Clint Capella and Eric Gordon, their potential value, it's probably not worth it. The only trade for the Rockets that might make sense and work within the cap is the aforementioned Iman Shumpert sign and trade possibility. Now, a sign and trade does have to be a three-year contract, and the Memphis Grizzlies would not have interest in giving Iman Shumpert, kind of a middling veteran, a three-year contract. However, the way you can get around it is making only the first year guaranteed. So effectively making it a bloated one-year deal to make salaries work, and for taking on maybe a $15 million Iman Shumpert, which is clearly an overpay for the sake of math, then you'd give the Grizzlies a first-round pick for their trouble. Now, is Iguodala worth the first-round pick? I think he's good enough. I would highly consider it. But number one, I don't know what Memphis would look for if they have offers from other teams. And then you'd also have to have cooperation from Iman Shumpert that he's willing to do that. Now, one reason why he might is that Shumpert then might, closer to the deadline, get a buyout himself and be free to get onto whatever contender he wants. That's a possibility for veterans on big deals that are in situations where they don't really make a whole lot of sense. We saw that last year with, say, Trevor Ariza and the Suns. I think the Rockets would consider it because with this team, the need for more defense, we know they've gone after Iguodala in the past, his ability to play well under the lights in the biggest games. I would consider it, especially if it's a near-term pick in which we know the Rockets are probably not going to be all that high anyway because this is a very good team. I would consider the Shumpert scenario with Memphis to avoid the risk of him going to another team if he becomes a buyout and then say he picks LeBron and the Lakers. I would be open to that. Not saying I would 100% do it, but I would at least consider that scenario. Now, the one drawback to going the trade route for Iguodala is if you're bringing in his salary at $17 million, then there's no way that you can hard cap yourself. So you couldn't use the rest of your mid-level exception, at least the non-taxpayer or the biannual. You would have to commit to that taxpayer path because any scenario with a hard cap, you would bust through it if you use your exceptions. And then you bring in a bloated Andre Iguodala contract via a Shumpert sign and trade. So in that scenario, you could not use your exceptions on the open market this summer. All you would be left with is whatever's left of your taxpayer MLE, about $2.5 million, and then any minimum deals. With that said, the reason I would consider it is in this scenario, basically Iguodala would be taking the place of whatever you would get with your exceptions. Just think of it as using Iman Shumpert as a sign and trade ship in lieu of whatever's available with your exceptions. I don't know that I would do it, especially if it costs you a first-round pick in terms of negotiating with Memphis, but I would at least consider it. I think Iguodala is a very good fit. Culture-wise, obviously the Rockets have targeted him for a while. He's got friendships here. It's one that I would heavily look into. Now, if that doesn't work out, either Shumpert doesn't cooperate, you can't come to terms with Memphis, whatever. Yeah, if and when Iguodala gets bought out, be it later this offseason or sometime closer to, say, the buyout deadline in February, I do think the Rockets would and should go after him. However, there'll definitely be other contenders in the mix, certainly the Lakers. And given that presence, I would not advise, and this is not just Iguodala, I'd say this for any other buyout candidate, but I'm going to mention it now because Iguodala is the hot name. I would not advise saving funds for the possibility of buyouts. We saw this last year where the Rockets didn't use their mid-level exception. They had financially a leg up and they wanted in February Wes Matthews, who picked Indiana, and Markieff Morris, who picked Oklahoma City. Both of those guys signed for the minimum. Because these buyout guys are double dipping, they're getting paid their existing contract minus whatever small amount they give back, and then this new contract, and it's just a one-year deal prorated, a slight bump really isn't that big of a deal. They're going to go either for the best fit or just where they want to be, usually from a winning perspective, occasionally market. It's usually not an extra million or two that drives those decisions. So if you do have to wait on Iguodala and you're hoping that he gets bought out, and that's viable, and the Rockets, according to Tim McMahon, would be interested, I'm fine with them being interested. All I'm saying is don't save any additional money because I highly doubt that's going to make the decision. If Andre Iguodala gets bought out and comes to Houston, it's going to be because he thinks this is the best fit for him as a player, as a person, whatever the considerations, his priorities are. Obviously, given the Jimmy Butler talks, we know some players have different priorities than others. I really don't think an extra million or two of flexibility. So I'm fine going after my buyout, but don't save your resources for it. Get upgrades now and deal with the buyouts when they come. The other guy that's impacted by this Warriors D'Angelo Russell move is Kevon Looney. And we know the Rockets are interested in him. He's been really a thorn in the Rockets' side the last two postseasons, one of the better switching centers in the game. I've been surprised by how well he's held up even on James Harden and Chris Paul on the perimeter. He moves in ways that Clint Capella used to a year or two ago. So he's someone that would fit really well. And even though the Rockets met with him on night one of free agency, the reason I wasn't that excited about it is that the Warriors had his early bird rights, and I just expected, especially with the Rockets being the competition, I could not see a scenario where the Warriors let a guy that Steve Kerr in the playoffs called one of their cornerstones, a young big man just in his second year in the NBA, a perfect switch guy, can rebound, physical on the low block, and just really an ideal rim runner in a system with James Harden and Chris Paul. I couldn't imagine the Warriors letting a guy like that go to their chief competition without a fight, especially when they have early bird rights and can offer him whatever they want. Well, within reason. Now, they can't give him the max, but it's like Austin Rivers next summer. They could easily go up to double digits in terms of $1 million per season. Anyway, the sign and trade, that changes everything because now the Warriors are hard capped and they're limited in terms of what they can offer, really just the minimum. So Looney is a lot more available for the Rockets at the moment. The only problem, actually, is that when the Rockets were talking to Looney before, I think they're trying to sell him on the idea of, hey, you can be a starter here if we trade Clint Capella in a Jimmy Butler deal. And so maybe Houston was hoping that he'd take a slight discount relative to whatever Golden State offered because the Rockets could offer a more stable role. Well, now the Rockets have a more clear financial path to getting him. And there's also not that much money out there on the market at the moment because so many teams have spent so quickly within the first 24 hours. So the Rockets, at least financially, certainly relative to the Warriors and honestly compared to most of the league, there's a much easier pathway now than we thought there was going into free agency when Saturday night we first heard about the meeting between the Rockets and Looney. At this point, it just depends on whether the role is enough. He'd probably be a backup to Capella, maxing out at 18 to 20 minutes per game. Can he get a better situation or more money somewhere else? If not, even though he's a five, I think he's enough of an asset that I would consider using what's left of the non-taxpayer MLE if the Rockets go that route with the hard cap on Looney, because not only does he give you an upgrade at the backup five, he'd be better than a 36-year-old Nene last year and a raw and unseasoned Isaiah Hartenstein. Beyond that, not only does he firm you up at the five behind Clint Capella, it also gives you more flexibility from an asset standpoint, salary filler. If a deal comes along during the season in which you need to trade one of your bigs, either from an asset reason or a salary perspective, okay, then you can trade Capella and then you have Looney to be a center. Or the reverse, then if Looney plays well as backup, then someone might see him as a potential starter for them, and then he has an asset. And if you give him what's left, about $5.7 million a starting salary, then while it's not as big as, say, Iman Shumpert giving him a bloated deal, it's not insignificant either. It is decent filler in terms of how you can make the math work. So I would at least consider it. Golden State's out of the picture now, and I don't know how many teams have openings. The one bit of cold water, as far as Looney and any other free agent on the market, I mentioned a couple of other names earlier that conceivably the Rockets, besides Looney, if they use their exceptions and try to sign someone now, Jamichael Green, Marcus Morris, who'd be a perfect, I don't know if I'd call him a 3-and-D because he's more of a 4, but certainly the toughness, the versatility defensively, his ability to shoot, which has gotten really good since his original stint in Houston back in the early 2010s. Those would be great gets if the Rockets could get one of those at an exception level. And up front behind P.J. Tucker and Clint Capella, the Rockets need to add more proven depth. So be it Kevon Looney, be it one of those other guys, I'm sure the Rockets, if they go the exception route, would be open to doing something as soon as possible. However, I expect it to be more a matter of days than hours, because I think right now a lot of the market is waiting on Kawhi Leonard. There are not that many teams left with cap space, so it's not just about the teams with cap space, it's also about the threat of leverage. That's how a lot of these deals get done. And right now, even if, say, a player doesn't want to go to the Clippers or the Lakers, a team with cap space, then at least they could use them as leverage to feel like they're getting the best offer out of whatever they do go to. At the moment, both the Clippers and the Lakers, those are the only two teams left with significant cap space, $30+ million. At least one of them, and possibly both, are going to have all of it available in a couple of days and be looking suddenly to splurge. Because at the moment, all that cap room, I believe it's over $40 million for the Clippers and about $30 million for the Lakers, it's earmarked for Kawhi Leonard. Well, Kawhi can only sign with one of those teams, and he actually might sign with zero if he chooses to stay in Toronto. So that's going to be at least one set of $30 to $40 million in cap space that's going to hit the market for potential free agents in a couple of days, and perhaps both if Kawhi stays, which I hope he does, let him stay out east. I've explained in a lot of our recent shows why I think that's the preferable scenario for the Rockets. So I think the Rockets have an idea of who they want to target, but my guess is that be it shopping for a better deal elsewhere or just looking for leverage, a lot of these free agents are waiting to see what Kawhi does because it's going to be a domino effect. once one and possibly both of the Clippers and Lakers have cap room, then you're going to start to see a lot of really quick movement for these leftover free agents that are, say, exception range rather than minimum. They're just holding out because there's not that much cap space available, and the couple of teams that have the most of it, well, they're in a holding pattern for Kawhi. And as far as I can tell, it could come at any time, but it sounds more likely that it'd be either Tuesday or Wednesday than today, a decision from Kawhi on Toronto, the Lakers, or the Clippers. Again, personally, I'm hoping for Toronto. That's the easy path for the Rockets, keep the Western Conference wide, wide open. But regardless, there's going to be a trickle-down effect because one or both of the Clippers or Lakers are suddenly going to be looking to splurge on a lot of the other free agents on the market. And once that happens, be it because some of those guys I mentioned come off the board or because then they can feel secure their agents that they're getting the most leverage, at that point, that's when the next wave of deals will come. And if the Rockets go the exception route, that's when I would expect them to be able to pounce and actually finalize one or more of these deals that we've been discussing on today's show. Anyway, I think we've had enough talk for day two of free agency, so I'll wrap it right here. And if you want more content before our next show, whenever that is, there are, of course, many ways that you can get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben Dubose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website at LockedOnRockets.com, a Facebook account at Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, an email address, LockedOnRockets.com. All of those are ways that you can access prior episodes, or you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. Before we go, I do want to once again thank and acknowledge our great sponsors, and please keep in mind that if you support these guys, you're also helping us grow here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. One of those sponsors, of course, is Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now in full swing. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. You can also support our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LockedOn for $25 off on their entire line of apparel. And in addition to supporting our sponsors, please remember that to get this show every day, you can and should subscribe to Locked On Rockets on Himalaya's new podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Of course, you can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And I encourage you to do so and to leave 5-star reviews wherever you can. And when you get in your car or you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and listen to our most recent episodes that way as well. Once again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks to all of you for listening. And please come back soon for more off-season episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets free agency and everything Houston Rockets basketball.